Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, March 24th, 2017. And with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
Well, I'm okay, but it's snowing outside, and I'm not quite sure how I feel about that here on March 24th. I'm very clear how I feel about that, but given that we like to retain our non-explicit rating, I can't clarify. So we'll just leave it at that. I'm great.
All right. Well,
thanks for having me.
And I really appreciate that you saved me from having to do an edit. I do appreciate that. Yeah. I'm in Colorado, so March snows.
You get it.
Yeah, that's just a thing. Yeah.
It's a thing. Yeah. It's fine.
And Adam Christensen from the MacCast. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing all right. It's a chilly 47 here, and I'm freezing.
You'll rebuild, Adam.
We need to send in the St. Bernards with the brandy barrels on their collars.
The thing is, I'm only half joking. In San Diego, we get below 50, and it's like, I call us weather wusses. We can't handle any weather. You get acclimated, and it's bad.
Yeah.
Well, you're acclimated for a different type of weather.
Yeah. But we're good.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Glad everyone's going to survive the day. And Blue Apron, they're our sponsor, which is pretty awesome. We'll talk about them in a bit. But Adam, there's something that's bugging you. And so
There's a lot that's been bugging me lately, but we'll stick to this one thing that I just was on the App Store this morning. I was telling you guys, I'm going to try and remain positive about this, but this is something when the whole concept of an App Store started coming about and it was announced, it was something that I was concerned about. And it goes back to the days, you know, being a longtime Mac user back in the 90s and the 2000s when we had sort of limited apps and, you know, our developer community was really small and stuff like that. We used to kind of make fun of Windows people because they would have a lot of software choices, a lot of things, a lot of apps, a lot of utilities, a lot of games. And they would always say, oh, we've got all these games, we've got all these utilities and these apps. And then we would always kind of fire back at them. Well, yeah, but, you know, a lot of them are not very good, not very well thought out. So you've got, you know, 99% garbage and then, you know, 1% good stuff. And it's just confusing and hard to find that stuff. And when the App Store started to become a thing, it was a concern that I had that, you know, are we going to get to the point especially on iOS, where we've got, you know, millions of choices and only a few really good ones. And lo and behold, I was on the App Store this morning, kind of going through some of the top lists and things like that, just looking for new stuff as I do sometimes. Mm-hmm. And just looking at a lot of this stuff and going, wow, there is a ton of stuff on here. And a lot of it, you know, granted, I can't play and try everything, but a lot of it just doesn't look very good. And it sort of fits into another thing that I've been having where in talking to a lot of developers, are dealing with a lot of challenges, you know, on how to make continuing income. And we've had all the conversations about, you know, the reasons for this, you know, why this is and why we have in-app purchases and how egregious in-app purchases have become in a lot of cases and stuff like that. So I don't want to rehash that stuff, but that's a lot of the stuff that's going on. And one of the phenomenons that I think is contributing to this sort of, you know, this stuff isn't all that great, is I know a lot of developers who are starting to find that just churning out titles is kind of, and maybe it's just society, maybe it's our YouTube society, maybe it's our, you know, short attention span, but that becomes a revenue thing for them. It's like, if we can just get 10, 12 titles out in a year, we don't have to make a ton on each one, but if we make a good amount on each one, then we can make a living at this. And so I just have concerns that sort of the ecosystem is sort of driving this new app culture. And I don't know if it's good or not. I don't know what to think about it, I guess, is where I'm at with it. So that was sort of the thing I was proposing and throwing out there.
Well, I suppose it's I agree with you, actually, that the way the ecosystem is set up, it incentivizes people to do exactly what you described. It just like churn out apps and like gear them towards moderate success and perhaps just hope that one might hit big, but it doesn't seem like anyone's building anything with the intention of it being great and hitting big and having legs and all of that. I mean, one would assume that a savvy developer that's operating in this way, that's just churning out apps, if one of them happens to hit, then maybe they would put some more time into that one. But there's no guarantee of that either, right? I mean, that takes the right kind of developer to identify that and just say, okay, wait a minute, we should cultivate this, as opposed to, nope, it's July, so we must churn out the July app. You know, that could happen too, right? And there actually would be a not unwarranted business case for just, nope, stay the course. Yep, we had a hit. That's great. But, you know, we got to look 5 years down the road. And the way we do that is app a month, or, you know, whatever the schedule is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the way the store works, or the ecosystem works, but the store really is the sort of the driving force behind the ecosystem.
So. Sure. Yeah. Do you think it would help if Apple could crack the discovery conundrum? Because, I mean, that's a huge problem. And it's not just Apple that...
Right. Look, sorry to interrupt.
No, it's okay.
We talk about this discovery conundrum like it's a solvable problem, and it's never been solved anywhere, right? It wasn't solved on TV, right? We just keep adding more channels. There's nothing on. I don't know what to watch, right? How did you finally find out what to watch? People ran commercials. That's it, right? So it's possible.
Or your friends told you what to watch.
Your friends told you, but that's not the network solving the discovery problem. That's just the discovery problem sort of, you know, coming up with its own frustrated solution that's still imperfect. Right. But it's
somebody
how
got
that
lucky
works
and found the good stuff and happened to tell you about it
and told you about it. Right. And therefore you got lucky. Right. And so, yeah, that's kind of that's not a model. That's just sort of happenstance. And that's fine. I mean, we've seen things, you know, we call it going viral now, but this is not a new concept. It's happened all the time. It's just people start talking about something. I don't know that there's a solution to that other than perhaps what Apple's doing now, where you can put ads for your thing in the store, but limited success, right? I don't know that we've solved the discovery problem on television.
No,
right.
I don't think
like even just network television. There's still times, there's shows that I like to watch or whatever. It's like, oh, that's back on. Holy crap. I had no idea. In fact, it's arguably worse now because, you know, we're all, I mean, I've been living with time shifted television for almost 17 years, but everybody lives with it now. So it's not like you sit down on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. to watch whatever you're going to watch. You kind of have to go seek it out. And if you don't know to seek it out, you're not sitting there. You know, it used to be, and maybe it still is, maybe a lot of people still watch TV this way, but I don't. But it used to be that the networks could slot something between the 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock show that were both popular, you know, the anchor shows, and have this middle slot that was like, yep, this is the one that solved that discovery problem. Right. I mean, and that was that. There was like that Thursday night. It was actually a 30-minute slot on Thursday nights, I would say probably 15 years ago, that was just killer. Right. That was the one that they slotted whatever it was between Seinfeld and ER. Right. I think is what it was on the networks, and whatever they put in there got a lot of attention. If it was good, it stuck around. If it wasn't, obviously it didn't. But you can't. I mean, I suppose they still try to do that with TV, but you're missing a lot of the market even with that now. Mm-hmm. How do you do that on the App Store, right? Yeah. How do you slot? Yeah, they've got their little, you know, whatever the recommendations, but they're awful for the most part. I just ignore them. I've been trained to ignore them.
One thing I'm concerned about too, though, is, you know, Apple is doing this ads thing. And this was another thing I noticed sort of perusing through the store in the featured section now, is there's weird stuff showing up in the featured section under, you know, more games you might like or new stuff that you might love. And maybe it's just the algorithm. Maybe some of it's ad influenced. I don't know. And I'm not going to call out any titles, but I'm seeing things like here's a title that's being recommended to me. And when I go into it to check ratings and reviews. It has zero ratings and reviews. Okay. And okay. I go back and I look at the versions. It was updated on March 22nd. But if I go back, this title has existed since 2014.
Huh. Okay.
So how is this featured? It has zero reviews, but it's on the homepage of the App Store when I'm going in there.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and some of the things that show
yeah,
up.
Yeah, that's a fair question. Yeah.
That's a fair question.
Like, and nobody's reviewed it since 2014?
Yeah. So, how'd it get there?
So, these are kinds of things that I start to wonder about a little bit, you know? And then you look at the screenshots and you're kind of like, that looks really odd. You know, and I don't want to be negative on developers. I think there's some great developers out there and stuff like that. But, you know, you look at the producer, the thing, and you start to go, why is this stuff showing up and how is it bubbling to the top? And again, looking at top paid or top grossing, you know, and then you start to go in and it's a free to play, but then it's got all kinds of micro payments and stuff like that and no reviews. And so those are the kinds of things that I'm like, what is going on here?
Here we have an audience of people, right, that also have the same needs, right, to find apps to use.
And
of
course,
by and large, you folks listen to this show in part to find these apps. And so today you show up and here we are saying, we can't tell you what apps to buy. We don't even know. As unhelpful as that is, at least it's honest. If you don't mind me overstepping, Jeff, I would love to hear from folks how you find apps and what works for you and what doesn't.
You know, it's funny, Dave, because I was just about to ask the very same thing. So you did not overstep me. You just preempted me. Yeah. Listeners, please tell me how you are discovering apps. You can shoot me emails, observations@macobserver.com. You can let me know on Twitter. That would be @TMODaily. And you can leave comments in today's show notes because, yes, I do look at all those places to see what all of you have to say. So, yeah, let me know. And once we get a bunch of answers together, we'll take a look at this and see if maybe we can come up with a pattern that's better for app discovery. Yeah. All right. And hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Blue Apron. And what I like about Blue Apron is that they feed me and they make me feel good and they make me happy because they're giving me good food. And that's saying a lot right there because I like to think I'm not picky about what I eat, but if I'm being honest with myself, it turns out that some by choice and some by design, I'm actually kind of picky. And Blue Apron makes stuff that I enjoy eating. So here's the deal. What they do is they go out and they find all this really great stuff, like really great ingredients, and, you know, like fresh vegetables and responsibly raised animals and they're, you know, they're out looking for farms that do regenerative farming and sustainably sourced seafood, all of this stuff. And then they come up with these really interesting things like pork chops with miso butter and bok choy and marinated apples, which sounds like really intriguing to me. And this is not something that I would have thought to put together myself, but Blue Apron did it for me, which is totally awesome. And then what they can do, or what they do is they take all this stuff and they package it up, fresh ingredients, ship it right to your door, and you open up the box and you have everything you need to make wonderful meals. And it's going to cost you less than $10 a person for your meal, which is really nice. So I love that I can get these like high quality restaurant type meals for cooking at home prices. And Blue Apron totally makes that possible. So here's what you can do. You can save a little bit of money. If you go to the special link that they gave us, and that's blueapron.com/TDO, blueapron.com/TDO. Now, when you go to that URL, it lets them know that you heard about all this great food here on Daily Observations, and you also get the first three meals from your order for free, and you get free shipping. So that's an awesome thing. give this a shot because you're going to be pleasantly surprised. It's really good food. It's really great ingredients. And you get all these recipes that you can make again later. So check it out, blueapron.com/TDO. And thank you, Blue Apron, for being our sponsor. Okay, as long as we're here, and I have both of you here, I figure I've got a pretty good brain trust to work with. Dave, we were talking earlier today about the whole iCloud extortion thing that these hackers are pushing on Apple, and the deal is they have username and passwords. They are threatening to wipe out all these iCloud accounts if Apple doesn't pay up $75,000 in bitcoins. And yeah, I totally did the little finger at the corner of my mouth when I said that.
Yeah. So, right, we talked about this earlier this week. It sounds on the surface like a very silly extortion attempt, because the especially the initial money that they were looking for was really low. I mean, like less than the average salary at Apple. It all seemed very silly, and it was easy to be dismissive about it. ZDNet, though, dug into this a little bit. These people, these hackers, have been looking to get a little press coverage, it seems, mm-hmm. and they've gotten some. So this hacker group that calls itself, they're London-based, and they call themselves the Turkish Crime Family. So, you know, figure that out on your own. Exercise for the listener. Gave ZDNet a set of 54 credentials, a sample group of 54 credentials. Every one of these 50, now, you know that these were pre-vetted, of course, by the hacker group being, you know, sending these through.
Of course.
But all 54 of these were valid, the way ZDNet tested them. And these are accounts that were iCloud.com accounts, me.com accounts, Mac.com accounts, you know, so things going all the way back, whatever, almost, you know, 16, 17 years. The credentials just contained email and passwords. That's it. So it's email address and password. That's what was shared with ZDNet. You don't know what else these people have. But because so many of these are used as iMessage addresses, it was fairly easy for ZDNet to get in touch with many, not all, but many of these people. And so they did. They iMessaged them and said,
text messages. That's brilliant.
iMessages. But or yeah, iMessages, right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So they contacted these people and got in touch with quite a few of them that were then willing to kind of take part in ZDNet's test. And all ZDNet's test was, hey, is this the password you use for your iCloud account? And 10 of the people that they were able to contact, which was not everyone, but 10 of the people that they were able to contact said, yes, that's my password. Right. So, but now they have a conversation going with these 10 people, right? So, and obviously each of these 10 people went in and changed their passwords. Okay, great. But let's keep the dialogue going, ZDNet said, and they did. And what they found was that one of the people said, no, that's not my password, but it was my password about 2 years ago.
Mm, okay. Right. So now right. We may be narrowing down the window.
That's it. And so they have narrowed down this window, which appears to have happened somewhere between 2011 and 2015. So going through all this was quite, of course, quite interesting and is fun to recount here. But the net is, if you haven't changed your iCloud password, I'm going to say, if you haven't changed your iCloud password in the last year, please go do that.
I think that's excellent advice.
Yeah, it's probably being a little overcautious. But, you know, here's the reality, man. And we store so many things in iCloud. Right. Do you want to have to deal with losing all of your data or whatever? I mean, even if you don't feel like you have anything to hide, forget about that. Right. Look at the, you know, pain in the neck factor of what could happen if someone else logged into your iCloud account. Now, if you have two-factor authentication on, that would theoretically protect you from this. But, mm-hmm. you know, why not have both factors be secure, right? If, sure. You know, if they can get past one, well, that's bad. So change your password, right. Even if you've got two factor, you know, that would likely save you from this. There's no reason to be cavalier in this regard. So, yeah.
Yeah. And these guys are threatening to go in and erase everybody's data on their Macs and their phones, which you can do through an iCloud account. So,
yeah, totally. That's like, right. Yeah, this stuff can sort of reach out into your other devices.
Yeah, forget about them looking into your emails. Think about you're out and about and your phone is suddenly erased and locked.
That would really suck.
Yeah.
You know, that
exactly.
That would suck so much that even though I changed my Apple ID password, my iCloud password, less than a year ago, I'm just going to go change it again. And I have two-factor authentication turned on. Just that whole notion just has me really creeped out. I'm going to go change some passwords today.
Yeah, so I changed mine. Oh, go ahead, Adam. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I just had the question because I missed earlier in the week when you guys talked about this. You talked about, did you talk about potentially where this data came from?
No.
Yeah, I guess not very much. So it probably came from hacks into other services.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to point out because I don't want people because a lot of times people will panic and think that, you know, Apple iCloud has been hacked. But
yeah,
I think most experts are pretty sure, believe, and I don't know what ZDNet concluded, that, you know, this goes back to old hacks where you use the same password someplace else and maybe used your iCloud account there as well. And that's how they get this data.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. In fact, I think this hacker group has said we did not hack iCloud. We got this elsewhere.
Yeah. Right. And that's what Apple is saying too.
Yeah.
So the reason I want to bring that up too is the reminder that you really shouldn't be using the same password everywhere if you can avoid it, because that's a lot of times these days.
You can avoid it, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, this happened, you know, Adobe got hacked at one point, and then they were getting into people's Microsoft accounts or iCloud accounts or whatever it might be, because if you're using the same username and password, what is going on is they're hacking one system and then they're building a database, and that's getting shared within the hacker community, and then they're using that to do other attacks. So it's, you know, really getting important these days that you're not using the same password everywhere. That's going to give you another layer of, you know, so it's all about layers of protection is what you want. And the more layers of protection that you can do, changing your password frequently on all your accounts is one, not using the same password everywhere is another, turning on two-factor when it's available is another. So the more that you can enable, the better you're going to be able to protect yourself.
I love this advice. And we're out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. But everyone, go change those passwords and use a password manager and enable two-factor authentication. There you go. Okay.
There you go.
So, Dave, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And Adam, thank you for being here as well.
Hey, it was fun. Thanks.
Yep, it was loads of fun. And Blue Apron, thank you for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, blueapron.com/TDO. And get the first 3 meals off your order for free, plus free shipping. It's really good food. You're going to like it. blueapron.com/TDO. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again on Monday.